Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
Gentlemen, and welcome to the backyard. This is Margaret Marshall, your host, and I want to welcome you again to our Labrish time. And as usual, I'm going to ask you to take a virtual trip to that beautiful island, that tiny little island in the Caribbean that most of us that are fans of the show are from. And some of us are just lovers of the island, or we've visited it, or something, or descendants from someone from the island. So if you've been there or read about it, I know that it's just like one big tranquilizer. So we're going to ask you this evening to pretend that you're in your favorite chair, on your favorite part of the island, in your favorite chair. It could be on the beach, on a patio, under a mango tree, just anywhere at all where you could feel that cool breeze, balmy breeze of the trade winds just drift softly across your face. So it's not hot and sizzly in America yet because we're not in our summertime. But you can imagine how beautiful it is there right now. It's very nice in my city. So I know that it's beautiful there also. So while I wait for my guests to come on, we'll just take a virtual trip, settle in our chairs, perhaps get our favorite drink as we're going down memory lane and talk about the times we used to be there. But better than that, as soon as our guest identifies herself, we'll be talking to someone who is sort of much younger than most of my listeners who are from way back in the days. But it's really my pleasure this evening to really welcome a very up-and-coming star of our beautiful island of Jamaica. And I'm hoping that she will be on the board soon. I don't see a raised hand, so I'm assuming that somehow she's going to get here. But who I'd like to talk to you about this evening, you know, I'm always doing research as much as I can, and our wonderful historians are really contributing a lot to the show because a lot of times I quote from Dr. Joy Lumsden's documentation of people who have been, perhaps would have been forgotten if it was not for her. And I am always thrilled when I'm featuring a woman. You know, not that I'm sexist or anything, but it's always thrilling. Because I know in the old days when I was coming up, I mean, I think Jamaican women have always been sort of out there and independent. But I know that most times, you know, it has been a man's world. So whenever we have women to celebrate from the past, I'm always excited because it's good to know that way back when the females of Jamaican origin or who had been born there somehow was really doing their thing. But tonight, I see that my honored guest is on the show with me. So if you are on my list, you would have gotten my promotion about this very wonderful interior designer that I am really so excited about. Number one, it's not all the time that I get to know my guest that I'm featuring personally. So when I do have a guest, I've had a few that I personally interact with, it gives me special pleasure. So without any further ado, I see a raised hand, and I am assuming, yes, I do recognize the number as a local one. So I am going to open up the mic in a few minutes to Miss Janice Walker Palmer. I'm sorry. Ooh. Can't even pronounce her name. It's Palmer, and I'm going to open up the mic and welcome her. Welcome. This is Margaret. Who do I have? Good evening.
Miss Palmer herself.
Okay. Well, welcome to the backyard.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Are you ready for the labrish?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Most definitely.
Okay. Well, we usually get settled in our favorite chair at this time of the evening to relax and enjoy the trade winds as they drift softly across our face. No matter what kind of day we've had, it's the time to relax. So with that said, I wanted to tell you that I'm sure you know that a labrish is a casual conversation, and that's
yes.
What we're excited about having with you today. So would you tell us a little bit about yourself, my dear?
Well, as you know, I'm originally from St. Thomas, Jamaica. Came
to
America.
A part of St. Thomas.
Springfield, outside of Morant Bay.
Oh, it's outside of Morant Bay. I see. Okay.
Yes.
So would that be considered sort of country?
Morant
Bay is the capital?
No, maybe about Morant Bay is the capital, so maybe about 3-4 miles.
Oh, I would say in the old days, walking distance?
Yes. Yes.
In the old days. Okay.
Yes.
And is that where you grew up?
Yes, that's where I grew up.
Okay.
Yes, in Springfield. I came to America as a teenager and lived in New York.
Uh huh.
In the
70s. And you went to school in New York?
Yes, for a little while, and then I moved from New York to California and went to college in California, started doing nursing, and, you know, wanted to make my family happy, especially my father, and then it really wasn't for me personally. I knew I wanted to be a designer ever since I could remember, but I just thought it was not attainable, and family and friends kept saying that's a crazy idea and it's a glorified housekeeper, you would say, and it's only for the rich and just different stories. But I just kept at it, and when I was getting ready to graduate from nursing school, I just couldn't take it anymore and applied to go to design school, dropped out of nursing school, and went straight to design school. It was much harder in design school than nursing school, but I loved it so much. There were so many nights sleepless nights and trembling and fear and you name it, but the passion just would not, you know, nothing. All I saw was design. I don't care if I got a job, didn't get a job. I just wanted to do design. And,
wow.
You know, when
I finally finished.
Sorry.
May I ask you, can you sort of remember at what made you think of design? At what age do you remember things like that coming into your head?
Ever since I was little, I just, you know, my mom especially just loved to move around furniture, rearrange, change. And, you know, I'd tell her, put this way. And when I was like 4 or so, we'd, you know, go visit people's houses or families or friends. And I would pick where I want to sit. Yes, in Jamaica. And I would tell them where I want to sit, what chair, the reason why. And, you know, people would think I was just too much for my age. You should sit where you're supposed to sit. And I used to say, no.
Oh, that's the kind of story I want to hear.
I want to sit in the pretty chair in the living room. Where you're in the drawing room, where you're not supposed to sit, that's where I want to sit. And it's just something that stuck with me when I came here to America and was a teenager. I was one of those people that instead of going to buy, you know, clothes, which I do love, I would want to put a chair or some piece of furniture on layaway. And my mom thought that was very strange. And if I wanted to leave home early and start my own, you know, you want to put up house? And so, but I just wanted to buy a chair.
That's interesting. Very interesting. Now, at that time, were you thinking that is what you wanted to do?
No, I wasn't thinking that's what I wanted to do, but I tend to always gravitate towards that. You know, I was thinking of business, you know, getting a degree in business and nursing, you know, the fields that I know my family's in. You know, my mom has tons of relatives that are nurses and so on. So that's where I was just gravitating because that's what was taught to do. And, you know, my dad said, you know, want a doctor in the family. Want this, want that, but I kept pursuing, you know, that. But that's not where my heart was, my calling, everything. It just still kept, you know, going towards design and architecture.
Now
but
let me ask you this: do you remember what made you quit? What was it? Like an assignment, was it you just made a decision?
No, I remember exactly. In nursing school, you know, your last semester, you do what's called a preceptorship. Like you go to the hospital, pick out your patients and, you know, do a write-up, the whole works for when you have to meet with your professor and so on. So on weekends, normally everybody lived for the weekends. I hated the weekends because from Sunday night, I had to pick a patient, 2 patients, you know, and I would just get so nervous, the pit of my stomach, everything. And one Monday morning, because we used the carpool, I came down in my uniform, down the steps, and there was a big puddle. And I just sat in the puddle and went out to meet my carpool friends and tell them, I fell. I can't come to class.
Oh, you really did fall?
No, I just didn't want to go, but what excuse did I give them? They were waiting, so I just sat right here in the mud, and I knew this is it. And how do you tell your, you know, coming from a Jamaican background with, you know, family that believe in education and so on, that, you know, you're going to drop out in October and you're graduating in December?
Wow. That took a lot of strength.
Yeah, but I couldn't. I hated Sundays, and normally everybody loved the weekend, and I just know that, you know, God, you know, this, something got to give. And the only person I really told was my mother and said, I can't do this. I just need to just try. If I could only just try this, and if I have one person that believe in me, I'm going to try it. And she said, you know, try it.
Oh, bless her heart.
Yes, and kind of hid it from the rest of my family going to design school for a while because, you know, it was going to be a total waste of time.
And, yeah. And did you know right off as you went there that you felt relieved?
I started out at a regular university, and then I decided to go to a private college in California. And when I walked in, you know, I was the only, there were like about maybe 150 students. I was like the only black person there, and it didn't even faze me. I was
what about
like,
women?
Here.
There are a lot of women there?
Oh, yes, a lot of women and so on, but, you know, everybody had their own groups, clicked and whatever. I just came in and broke it all up, made friends with everybody. And
oh, that's
as
wonderful.
Happy as ever. And that's all I know. Yes, this is it.
You felt
you know.
It. Something
yes,
you could
I
feel.
Felt it. Yes, something I really felt. Oh.
So the stress was off.
Yes, and then a different stress is going to start taking, you know, take its place. But it didn't matter. It's something that I wanted to do and something that I'd finally finish, you know, because everything else I start can't finish because when it's near time to finish, I felt like this isn't it.
That sounds like, you know, when you follow your heart, your true passion, and it's,
yes.
you know, people live their whole lives and never even discover
yes.
what their passion is,
yes.
what they're really
that
passionate
is so,
about.
That is so true. That is so true.
I can commend you for being strong and bold, very
yeah.
bold. So... how long did it take you to, you know, become accomplished?
Ooh, I'm talking now. I graduated. Well, I finished in 95, basically,
uh-huh.
but I had one more class to get, so I had to end up going back for that one class in 98. But I got a degree in 98, but I really finished in 95 and started working and worked from different companies in California, trying to make a way, a name, started out as a reception, whatever I could do to get in a design firm. And, you know, I was in a design firm for the first week just as a receptionist, and then the drafts person walked out and they needed help. And I said, I can do it. So nobody even looked at my resume to see that, you know, I have a degree or, you know, basically graduating in design. I just needed a receptionist and, you know. So I ended up start in the drafting department. Drafting, doing all the drafting, and then they realized, oh, we do have somebody here that's into design. And I'm like, yes, that's what. But anything get in the door, I was willing to do it.
Well, there's
and,
the key there. There's the key. Not only were you strong and bold, you knew exactly what your passion was, and you were
yes.
not afraid to hold up your hands when the opportunity
no.
came.
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
You know, I'm saying bringing these things out because there are so many, you happen to be living your passion, actually. But there are so many young people that are, as you say, afraid of themselves, afraid of what
yeah.
people will think, just fear.
Yes.
But you've mentioned a couple of things that I really want to point out to my listening audience. The fact that when you showed up, there were approximately 150 people. You were the only black person, but it didn't
yes.
scare you, or you had no fear about that.
No, None whatsoever. I was so determined. Oh God, just talking about it, you know, you just don't, I would do it all over again.
So let me ask you something. Now, would you say that there was any marked resentment about you?
No, none whatsoever. And because, I don't know, I just fit in. And the thing, being from another country, somehow, you know, I got that opportunity where, you know, people just thought, well, you're from another country. Although I was mistaken, you know, during the 92 riots by a professor wanting to send me home early because he thought my family was in jeopardy. And I said to him, no, they're quite safe between, you know, where they are. And he kept insisting for me to go home. And I'm like, I don't even live in L.A. You know,
he just
lived out. Yeah, he just assumed that with the 92 riots, I must be from that area in L.A., and he was willing to excuse me and so on. But, you know, I assured him that my father in Jamaica is okay, and my mother in Florida is okay, and siblings are all, you know, okay.
Yes.
That's the only time or problem I've ever had, you know. Other than that, I always fit in, you know, or just, I did so well, you know, at what I wanted to do, that other than that, people just saw me as, wow, you know, you could do that, until I got in the workforce, then it changed. But at school, no, I had no real issues.
Wonderful. That's very good to know. Now, so you got your first job as a receptionist, and then
yes.
The opportunity came up where you could get into drafting.
Yes, and then from drafting, move up as
and
design assistant.
And explain to our listeners what in that field, what does drafting mean?
Basically drawing out the plans for each space. The company I worked for, they did commercial stuff like clubhouses, model homes, small resorts, boutique-style resorts, retired community for active seniors. So we'd have to get the plans from the architects, draw it up, and, you know, move stuff, like if there's a window someplace that you feel won't work for how you want to set up the space, you could move those over. Send it back to be, you know, approved. And so I would do that for different, you know, they had different teams of designers, and I would do all the drafting for them, myself and, like, two other people.
Gotcha. Uh-huh. And did
then,
you go from that stage to another stage in that same company?
Yes. Yeah, then design assistant, you know, just wanted to get upstairs. Downstairs at administrative, plus the drafting department, upstairs at my wish come true. All the designers, design assistant, interns, everybody upstairs, and that's where I wanted to be, upstairs. So I'd even, like, elaborate on some of the drawings for some of the people, and they're like, no, we don't want it like that, but I just wanted to show them what I'm capable of doing, you know?
So when I talk about being bold, you are bold in several different ways.
Oh, God. Because I was so determined and want to get to the next step, which is working my way up. And see, that's also another thing. A lot of people don't realize, too. At times, you have to pay your dues. And, boy, did I pay mine.
Yes.
I was just so excited. As long as it had a design on it involved, I'm there, you know.
Yes, it reminds me of memory gems that says, what is worthwhile doing is worthwhile doing well. You remember that one?
No, but I agree with what you're saying.
Yes, well, you might not have memorized it, but you certainly actionized it.
Yes.
Ah, wonderful. Must be the little Jamaican in you. You know, they talk about bolt on the yam. So it must be the yam. It got to your brain and you knew exactly what you needed to do.
Oh, boy, did I.
I'm just being funny. Or trying to be. Well,
so,
let me take a minute to remind our listeners that you're listening to Blog Talk Radio. This segment is Backyard Labrish, and we're here each Wednesday at 8 o'clock, where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. And this evening, I have the pleasure of, in the backyard, of chatting or labrishing with Miss Janice Palmer, who I want her to tell our story, and I'm going to tell my listeners a little bit about how we met and what she has recently accomplished. So go back to you, Janice.
Yes.
So we're
upstairs
now with the big guys as assistant. Is that what you call it?
Yeah, design assistant.
Uh-huh.
And trying to work my way up to project manager.
Uh-huh.
You know.
And that would be where you are in charge of the entire project from start to finish?
Yeah, and people under you. You have designers and design assistants and so on under you working. So, you know, working on teams where, you know, you work with budgets from $100,000 up to, you know, $1 million and up.
Wow.
It just depends on the project that you're doing.
Uh-huh.
And so on. So I was one of the lucky people to get on the higher-end team and, you know, work on high-end projects.
So tell me one your highest-end project you worked on.
I've worked on high-end both in California and here in Georgia that, you know, been over $1 million because I've done high-rise multi-levels, which include doing the lobby, all the common areas, and models.
Wow.
So.
Great. Congratulations. But you were at that level before you came here to Georgia.
Yes. And
uh-huh.
Then when I came here, I worked for a high-end boutique firm in the Buckhead area and worked for them for a while. Until I got laid off and decided, you know, my world is coming to an end because I figured I'd be in corporate America, work my way up to vice president of some company in design and so on. And that's how I geared my plans to be, but that wasn't, I guess, how it was supposed to be. And
right.
I got laid off, went to Jamaica for 3 weeks and cried and thought I was going to die and everything. And my father said, it's not the end of the world. Go back and just try to get another job. But when I'd gotten laid off, the person that laid me off, the owner of the company, said, you know, you're that good, you should start your own thing. And
wow.
I just wondered, where do I begin? And I just pulled out resources from people that I've, you know, dealt with before and just started calling and started, you know, being determined and, you know, family members were saying, just get another job, you know, in another field because this is a hard field and, you know.
Wow.
And, but I just could not leave this field. You know, I said, no, I'm going to try. If I have to keep things a secret from them because nobody really thought this is a serious field. Because,
uh-huh.
I mean, nobody see, you know, everybody just see it as fixing up. Everybody can fix up their own house,
uh-huh.
basically. So why need? But design involves so many different things, you know.
Right,
you go into
right.
the supermarket, you know, the designs came from, you know, architects and
designer. Uh-huh.
You go into
right.
the doctor's office, you go into the dentist's office, you go to the train station, everywhere, but, you know, nobody knew all these things. I don't know. So now, I guess, even with the HGTV and different things, people are more enlightened, but still people think they could do stuff themselves.
Right, right. I got you. All right. Well, you want to tell us a little bit about what happened since you got to Atlanta? Well, is it here that you started Y Designs?
Yes, yes. You know, here. I did a lot of freelance work, which is contract work, which means you're basically self-employed, but you'll work for different companies. So that's what I did for several years, worked under other companies. They got the credit for the work I did, but, you know, it's contract. So there was no escaping that or no getting credit, just getting paid. And then one day a builder for John Whelan and another designer saw me and said, you know, they're looking for design firms, and, you know, we know you have done other things. Do you have a firm? And, you know, I decided I'm going to start my own right away, that I could go and meet with them. And then meeting with them, I got to do a model home in a, you know, very exclusive area in Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
And then that's what started it. I did a showcase home for John Whelan, and that's where the clients start coming in. And I also belong to the American Society of Interior Designers, which is, if you're a, you know, a designer with a degree and you're several years of experience, you get to belong to this organization.
Oh, great.
Yes, and that's where, you know, people call for referrals and so on for a designer, for a degree designer.
I got you.
Then there's also in Atlanta and other states in the U.S. that they, every year they have a fundraiser or a charity event for a different organization. Like Atlanta, they have Atlanta Symphony, which helps inner city kids or kids that can't afford to do anything in the arts and music. In New York, they have Kip Stay that does basically the same thing. And San Francisco, they have different show houses that help charity. Then, you know, they choose from a pool of designers. Like here in Atlanta, you have to get an invitation, then you send your portfolio in, and basically they tell you if you're accepted or not. So they normally look for the best or the top designers or so on. Well, this year, last year I got an invitation for this year and did all the required things that was needed of me, and I was chosen. Well, when I went to the first meeting, I realized this is in its 41st year, and I was the first person of color.
Wow.
That has gotten into the house,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, that was a plus for me. It also gets for me to showcase what I'm capable of doing and also being taken seriously in the design world here in Atlanta.
Oh, definitely. And in the entire world, too.
There'll never be a, you know, even if the second person come in, I'm, you know, down as the first.
Right. Well, first of all, I just want to keep just wondering if our listeners is just hearing, you know, it's your tenacity, it's your drive, and it's your determination. Because, like many of us, many people, sometimes they have dreams, they think that is impossible, or they perhaps don't get the encouragement they expect to get from their peers, their families, and they allow that to deter them. But you are living proof that when you follow your heart and you apply the determination and the drive that you have applied. Because, you know, I'm sure that people might see where you have reached now and figure that, you know, oh, she's so lucky. And that's one of the reasons I wanted you to come on the show and really tell your story. because it can be really encouraging to young people who are coming up, even in age, who may have dreams that might be outside of the box, and it might not be something that their families or peers might feel can bring them any money. But there it was, you did not go into it for the money. You went into it because you knew deep in your heart that that was what brought you joy. Am I correct?
Oh, you're so correct. And I feel like if you could do something for free, you know, like love something so much that you do it for free, that is definitely your passion, and the money will come. It will come. That much I know. You know, during the years of ups and downs and highs and lows, you know, like any other business. But all, I know that I would do it all for free.
Yes.
That's
yes.
how much I love it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I just want to tell our listeners or anyone who may come by later on that you can see some samples of what, would you like to tell them the name of your website and how they can get?
It's ydesignllc.com.
So spell it out for me.
Y, the letter Y, D-E-S-I-G-N, LLC.com.
And it's just beautiful, just absolutely beautiful work that you do. Absolutely beautiful. I mean, talk about bringing joy to your heart. You know, a lot of times people know, I think they don't, even if they don't know it consciously, they feel it. When you go into any space, you get vibrations from the space. You know, I'm sure that you and a lot of the listeners can say there are times they're in a space and they actually feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I'm sure that has happened to you, right?
Yes, but my thing is I walk into a space wherever I go. I travel a lot to Europe and, you know, between here, there, even going to Jamaica, I walk in a room and I don't know how it happens, but I could tell you the end results. It's just like even when I did the show house room, before I presented and the bold colors that I was using and everything, you know, the presentation with the committee, they kept saying, so how are you going to put this all together? But I saw the end of the room before, you know, it even begun. And that's one trait I have. I can't explain it, and I don't know how it happens, but it happens. But I just know how my rooms are going to end up when I walk in a room. So I tend to always, whenever I step into some place, my mind is always going, what could I do to enhance, to change, to make it a better space for someone. And that's how I know too. I didn't become a nurse or anything in the medical field, but whenever I work with anybody, I know I've changed their lives.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? And that's just a feeling of accomplishment when you really feel that.
Yes.
When you really, really feel that. That is so wonderful. And you know, it's so much joy when a person can be living their passion.
Yes, and that's one thing I say, you know, if I should die tomorrow, at least I know I found my true passion. And I used to say that, which I still do, to my father. And I remember him coming to go to the gala event, and I said to him, Daddy, so what do you think, or what are you going to say? And he said, Janice, if me talk, me go ball. So that said everything. He didn't have to say anything like, I approve, I don't approve. I know that was his approval.
Right, right, right. That is so wonderful. And I want to tell my listeners a little bit about the house. That this was quite an honor, because as Janice just shared with you, this is the very first time, and actually they didn't choose her because they wanted to make a statement, because I know sometimes that is the feeling that, you know, there are times, as they used to call them, a token black or whatever. That was definitely not the case, because they selected you because of your work before they even knew who you were.
Yes, yes. They selected you, send in your portfolio, and I never send in pictures of myself and anything I do. If anybody noticed now, like from the, you know, the feature in the Jamaica Gleaner, that was like the first time my pictures ever been really shown. And then afterwards, when my picture was shown in the Atlanta Home and Lifestyle magazine, you normally just send your work in and they choose you from your work.
Mm-hmm.
And when they called me, until I showed up for the first meeting, nobody knew who I was, what I was, how, you know, what I looked like or anything.
So it's really based on your accomplishment, what you
yes.
can do. And I want to throw that out for the young people or people who might want to, you know, the important thing is to make what you're doing, give it the best that you have, give
yes.
it everything you have, you know, and don't hold back. Do not hold back because
you're
not sure. 100%. You have to put your all in it.
Yes, if you can't give 100%, don't even bother, because there's so many other people out there. If you think like you're the only person, you know, there's so many other people out there, so you have to. If it's something that you really want to do, like I was so determined to do this. When I told people I got the invitation, they're like, oh, no, don't even waste your time. First of all, if you do get it, you get a very tiny space because you're new and this is a prestigious thing and blah, blah, blah. But I said, you know what? I am going. This is my Mount Everest. This is my dream. This is something I could check off my bucket list. I want to get into the Atlanta Symphony Show House, the creme de la creme off houses. And people are saying, no way. Are you? No way. And
well, you know, I really, these are the things that I really want to bring out, because so many people listen to the outer voices around them, and they believe, sometimes they really believe what they hear, and that is what holds them back. Instead of listening to the inner voice, the still small voice, which is the truth, your true spirit and your true self. That's why, you know, in Jamaica, there was a saying about, I know everything good for eat, good for talk, or something like that, which means that sometimes it is even not beneficial to share everything with everybody. If you are not strong enough, if you're not strong enough to go with that inner voice, because there are so many times I want to add to this, you know, I call myself a senior, and quite a few of my fans are seniors, because the ones that call in or listen online, because we always talk about the old Jamaica, what things were like when we were growing up there pre-independence, because a lot have changed since. You know, like every other part of the world, lots of things are not the same as they were when we were growing up. Some good, some that we would look on as not so good. Like some of the customs we had when we were younger that made us more closer together as a family, as a society, and as a country. A lot of that has changed. But I am saying that to say, you know, when we still our minds and we go with our still small voice and our feeling and our perseverance, that is what counts. And that is what I want people, especially the young people, to take from your story. The fact that you didn't listen to all these people who said, don't even bother, don't even try, because you're not good enough, because you're not white, because you know,
yes,
all sorts of things that they would put in your heads, but you didn't listen. I see a raised hand, Janice, which means that someone,
yes,
wants to interact with you. So I'm
okay.
going to open up the mic and welcome that caller. Good evening. This is Margaret in the backyard. Who do I have?
I guess you must have me, Margaret, because I hit the one where I should have put the flash on. I was getting a call as I was listening, but I might as well put my two now.
Uh-huh.
It's very interesting to hear how you started. I'm a little bit familiar with those early projects you had in the drafting room, because the firm,
yeah,
that I worked with had all drafting section. And
yeah,
what was annoying about it, if you'll excuse the expression, was the smell of those, the reproduction work that they did.
Oh,
you
yes,
know,
on the ink and, yeah.
Did you work with sepias?
Yes.
Yeah. So when they printed from the sepias,
yeah,
I guess it's ammonia or something that
yeah,
came off.
Something that, yeah, and it's like at the back of your throat. You
I'm
know,
telling you, that was something.
Smell, yeah.
But you really started at the an interesting point, and actually the very bottom of the spectrum. But
yes,
would you say that the fact that you were laid off at some point there was a blessing?
Yes, at the time I couldn't see it, but it was, yes.
Yes, from what I was listening to you, your story, it sounded like it was really a break, because I was thinking that all of those men that worked in our that department, they had all gray beards, and it seemed like they worked there for a lifetime with no,
yes,
you know, no vision of which you have a vision that,
yes,
that extricated you from that little dungeon, you know. So
yes,
I would think that when you got laid off there, that was a break for you, and the break is something that you capitalized on to the,
mm-hmm,
you are today.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
And it brings me to point out the fact that a lot of times, because people are so wrapped up in what happened, you know, the tragedy, the laying off, the not being selected, the blah, 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 there is an open door or a window or just a path that they're so wrapped up in the anger or the sorrow or what, that they don't see it. They're totally,
yes,
blinded, because they're weeping. They're so much crying that they're not,
yes,
looking for the sunlight that can be streaking through just a little tiny hole. And a lot of times that's all you need. And you are willing to start at the bottom. There are so many stories we read of people who have done great things, who, you know, some of the good writers or editors or owners of newspaper who started in the mailroom or started delivering newspapers. Even some, you know, some of the television stars started,
yeah,
not as actors and actresses being great, but doing something, carrying water, whatever it takes.
Yes.
Whatever it takes to be in the environment of what you want, you know, what you know you want. So,
yes,
so there are many, many lessons to be learned from your story. And it,
yes,
is really just so heartwarming to know. You know, I remember when I came here in the late 50s, and I came to the States with skills, the keyboard skills, and I remember when there was a ad, I saw an ad in the paper for that position on Madison Avenue, which was in the 50s, was very prestigious, and you didn't have people like me working there. And when I told someone that I was going to apply for a job, they thought I was out of my mind. But I didn't listen. I went and took the test and passed it and got the job. So my point is, I'm only saying that, and there you are. You know, you're saying that you didn't really get, except for your mother, who was always there to encourage you, because she saw that from you were a little girl, you were drawn to that, making beautiful spaces.
Yes.
And being a mother who loved you, she was always there to encourage you.
And she still is. You know, she's my biggest cheerleader. And when other people come and go in my business, she's always there everywhere I go. If I go to a fabric store, I go to everybody's like, "Where's mommy? Where's mommy?
Uh-huh.
Where's mommy?" You know, so everybody knows her, and, you know. I said, "Well, she had to go home," and they're like, "When is she coming back?" And
wow.
So that's my trade thing. They never ask, "Where's your assistant? Where's this other person?" They just always ask, "Where's your mother?"
Isn't that wonderful? So I am really glad that we're able to bring these points out, because, you know, there's people get busy, mothers get sometimes distracted. I was watching an old Oprah show, and there is a writer, I don't remember her name now, and she was talking about when she was a young mother and how, you know, her children would want her attention, but she was so busy with trying to raise them and being, you know, a good mother, that she noticed at one point, she was not really paying attention to what they were trying to say. And because she was just trying to be a good mother. But I forgot how many kids she said she had. But finally, something happened where it snapped in her that she needs to pay more attention to the children individually. And I'm saying that because I happen to know that you're an only child, right?
Yes, I'm an only child for my mother.
Like I am for my mother. But it's so important for mothers, no matter how many children they have, to really individualize those children and spend special time with them as individuals and not lump them all together. Because that's what this older, I think this woman was 82. She was trying to pass that on. And it really struck me. It really, really. And I know how important support is. You know, it's really very important to get support. And when that support comes from your mother or a parent, not necessarily your mother alone, or someone close to you, it has a lot more meaning for you, a lot more meaning.
It does, and because, you know, if anything else, you know, I see where a family, you know, really counts. You want their approval, especially, you know, me coming from a Jamaican household. I was raised where, you know, I needed my father's approval. He would, you know, be the one to have the last say, so... During this, all this, you know, I always wanted his approval, and he's a person that talks a lot, but not really saying much when it came to my career, because I just always felt like, you know, somehow I didn't make the right choice. But now, you know, I've finally seen his approval and see that I have made the right choice.
You enjoy having his approval, but you made the right choice when you stepped in the puddle.
Yes.
Didn't you?
Yes.
You made up your mind when you told the carpool person to go ahead without you.
Yeah, there were three people waiting, and I showed them in my white uniform. I was all black in the back.
Isn't that something?
And I'm like, yes, I did. And they're like, can you go? I said, no, I can't. And I went right back into my house, changed clothes, and watched TV. And said, this is it. I cannot do this. I have to do something else. And, you know, I could have, you know, finished with nursing school and then have that as a second career fallback. And even now, with the way the economy is, you know, I still hear it from people, you know, you could have two jobs right now, but...
Oh, isn't that something?
No, this is it.
Oh, I am really so proud of you. I really, really am so proud. Because from the first time I met you, I could see your passion as you described to me what you did. You know, it's something you can see in a person, or feel is the better word. And you want to share with the audience some of the comments that you got while, and oh, I forgot, I did not explain. I started, but I, you know, I go off, this is a labyrinth, I go off in my little sidebars all the time. But this special event, this Atlanta show is considered, as I didn't even know that they had similar ones all over the country until
yes.
I read, you know, about the Atlanta Associates, who are who is the group that's in charge of selecting the house and selecting the decorators for the house. But the symphony itself celebrated its 66th season this year. So it's been a long Atlanta tradition. Now, the Associates, which is this group that have had several fundraising events for the symphony, with the house being the main one, is in its 45th. Is it 45th or 41st year?
41st year.
Right. Which, you know, all of this existed long before the symphony itself, long before you were born. Because, you know, it's really old and traditional and a big part of the South, not just Atlanta, but of the South.
Because a lot of people came from different states, you know, Tennessee, North Carolina. I met so many people from all over.
Yes, yes, yes. And the space that you were given was unusual to be given to a new person in the fold that have been asked to be part of this big event. And the Atlanta Show House is voted among the 10 best.
Yes.
You know, it's always up there in the 10 best in the nation. So that is quite an honor. And I want to say that Janice was lavished, just absolutely lavished with accolades and praises for the space that she was in charge of. And it was huge. It was really big.
Yes.
And it was absolutely beautiful. Now, is any of that posted online yet, like pictures of your room?
I've seen it on several blog sites because so many people came to the show and, you know, the pictures weren't allowed to be taken because they wanted, you know, a large attendance, you know, paid attendance. So after it closed, I noticed a lot of people writing me, emailing me, and congratulating me and sending me to different sites. And that's where I saw my room as, you know, a lot of people's favorites and so on. So, you know, different bloggers interviewed me and even magazines called me about, you know, talking to them about future work that I have to see if I could get some published and so on. So I'm working on with my photographer getting some on my site, but it's all over the net from what I saw.
Yes, yes, yes. And pretty soon there will be something on your site that will be reflecting on the room that you did. But again, let me just take a minute to remind our listeners online and our callers that might call later on that this evening we're talking with a very special guest, Miss Janice Palmer, she's originally from St. Thomas, Jamaica. She is currently living in Atlanta, Georgia, where she is an interior designer, and she's fresh out of being one of 26 designers. Is it 26 or 25, Janice? I don't remember.
26.
Who were selected out of 250 people who wanted to be part of this. Is it, how do you remember the value of the house? Is it six or $10 million?
It's a $10 million house with
$10 million mansion that was used as a fundraiser for the Atlanta Symphony. And Janice was part of the designing team that decorated this beautiful mansion. And it was quite an honor, and her space was absolutely beautiful. So I invite my listeners to take a look at her website, which you can access by going to www.ydesignllc.com. And pretty soon she will be opening a fan page. And I will be sending a link to all of my listeners or the people that I send a promo to. And I do ask you to go and become a fan of Janice. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us, Miss Jan?
I just wanted, you know, like you said, your young listeners to just know that follow their passion no matter what it is. Just follow it at least, you know. You know, you tried at least, you know, because some people always say, what if I'd done this, what if I'd done that? And, you know, my next venture in life is I want to finish up my master's and teach design. That, you know, that is
wonderful goal.
To let people
wonderful.
Know that, you know, it's not just for a certain type of people or that a certain race or whatever, anything is open to you. First of all, I guess, just being a Jamaican, that alone, you know, I guess gives me the right to do whatever I want to do because we're never afraid to do anything.
Right. And I would encourage anyone, regardless of where you are or where you're from, just remember there's nobody else in the world like you. Nobody else. No matter where they're from, it doesn't matter. You are the only you there is. And whatever it is you have, there is something you have that you can contribute to the world. You are here for a purpose. And I am so glad to hear you say you want to teach because, you know, so many people die with things, information, with knowledge, with stories in them and never share it with anyone or with the rest of the world. And just by being here on this show, you know, people, any part of the world, there are Jamaicans scattered all over the world, and we have quite a few fans who will come by later on to hear the show. And I would encourage people who may have someone who, you know, may be working on a dream, have been thinking about doing something, but have fears or hesitation about it, here is proof that if you give it your 100%, don't second guess or just deliver half of what you're capable of because you're not getting paid or because you don't think it matters. Because doing your best, remember another nursery rhyme or memory gem, good, better, best. Never let it rest until your good is better and your better best. So I remember those precious nursery rhymes or memory gems as we were growing up in Jamaica. And I do hope that the Jamaicans all over the world will remember some of those and pass them on to their grandchildren, their children and grandchildren, because they're priceless. And I do hope that at some point they're still teaching the children these gems in Jamaica. Does anyone know, Leigh, do you know if any of this is still going on?
No, I don't.
Mm.
I have no idea what's going on down there, but, you know, from what I see, I think we can be, we should think that the present day society down there and motivates their children to, you know, to do what, because we have left Jamaica, we don't have any ideas of what is happening there currently, but I'm sure that the same way we had motivators, like in Janice's case, her parents, parents just as devoted to their children there and want to see them get ahead. The reason I say that, I saw some newspapers recently and. Unbelievable achievement of some of those youngsters. So there is hope.
Right. And with that said, you know, there's one of my supporters who called me up about going to the, I think it was Spelman. She went to Spelman's graduation here because, you know, the first lady was the guest speaker there. And there were students, Jamaican students who had excelled, students from Jamaican parents who had excelled in so many different areas. And then while she was there, she heard about others. They're scattered all over. And I have a friend whose granddaughter, who was selected from New Jersey for some special award that has to do with future leaders. So what we're going to be doing is trying to put a show together that will highlight some of these young achievers, you know. So I've done quite a bit with the seniors, and last week we had a senior writer who was online and was there, quite inspiring because he was in his 80s, and he described himself as looking and feeling like he's 50. So we have the seniors who are encouraging people to go for their passion. His passion is writing, and he has written several books. And
he's
still writing. So, you know, it means that at any age, you can experience your passion. And
yes.
So I am just always encouraging people and encouraging them to share, to share. So, Janice, I am so happy that you were able to come and share with us and the rest of the world, because your story will be archived and it will be here forever. So when you become a student and we are perhaps gone, because, you know, I'm old and so is most of my fans, you can...
Well, I'm a fan.
...into the show. And tell your students about when you were on the show. And I'm sure that you have already touched many lives, and you will continue to do so in the future.
Yes.
So I thank you for being our guest. I know that the rest of my fans are celebrating you. And Leigh, is there anything you want to say to our wonderful interior designer?
No, I just say keep it going. The sky's the limit, Janice, and you certainly have that. I said it before, and I'll say it again, that vision. That's what you need to move on. Keep it
right,
going.
That's right.
Thank you. Thank you, and I'm going to keep it going with people like Mrs. Marshall here, and you know, I'm just going to keep, and all the other people that believe in me, and I also finally realize that there are so many people that appreciate what I do just from the exposure that I just got.
No,
that's other, my peers, you know, writing, you know, and I write back to tell them it means a lot from your peers to telling you how good you are.
Janice, that work that you did at the symphony, was it in a modern scale or was it traditional or how did that?
It was a mixture, but it had a more it had a more reflection of like Turkey, Marrakesh, you know.
Oh.
Middle Eastern look.
Uh huh.
Yeah, it was because everything in there is a fantasy, and my fantasy was a young lady. It was a young lady's bedroom, well traveled and into fashion, but her aunt loved music, so her music of choice was a cello, a string instrument, and she loved to travel, but she loved Marrakesh, Turkey area, and then after all my inspiration and make-believe person, the owners of the home, they're from India.
I see.
So how it turned out was exactly, well, everybody thought when they came into the house that this room was for the young lady of the house, but it wasn't that wasn't the case. It was just make believe of one of my travels and just wanted to do color. You know, everybody's thinking of colors. I was thinking of more spices, sort of bold colors. I did bold colors, but mine, I wrote a piece and it was more like spices, saffron, marigold, stuff like that to show the Far East, you know, Middle Eastern section of the world.
Wonderful.
And that is without her really knowing too much about who owned the house.
No, you didn't know anything. You just know you got accepted. And then when I got accepted, I just said, this is what I want to do. And, you know, even with that, you know, my assistant was saying, you're sure? And with all the colors and everything. And, you know, we just ran with it. We thought of it and stuck to it and never changed. And in the end, it worked out where, you know, that's really what it was supposed to be.
Because
it was wonderful.
Then,
see, when you go from your heart, you know, there's a still small voice that speaks to all of us. And when we take time to listen and go with the flow, everything works out beautifully. Because that's
when I tell everybody the story that walked in the room, they're like, really? You didn't know the people? Well, no, I didn't even know. Because normally when they do a house, it's always an empty house. I didn't even know there were homeowners of the house.
You knew nothing. You just went with your heart.
But you see who took it? An Indian person who would appreciate those colors.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she didn't know that before. That's the whole thing.
I didn't know that before.
The house was owned by them and given to the symphony. It's a brand new house, given to the symphony as a gift to be used for the fundraiser.
Yeah,
and we're talking about a $10 million house.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's in the most prestigious part of the city. So it was all good and just all so wonderful, and it all flowed so well.
Yeah.
And Janice, I want to congratulate you and really celebrate you for really going with your heart, and really expressing what you really feel in what you do. Because that is the true you. It really is. And it doesn't matter where we're from or what color is our skin or what language we speak. You know, when we come from the heart, we touch the world. We really do. We have to believe that in our hearts. And all of this just brings the whole world closer together.
Yes,
and
it does.
Am just so, so very, very, I just consider myself so grateful to be born in Jamaica. I really do. I consider it a gift. really. And I hope people feel the same way about any country they're from.
But
as I say to my listeners, my passion really is to leave this legacy of all of these shows as I interact with people, and I have callers who, you know, express themselves in some way, just be out there for the whole world to access whenever they feel like. So I want to encourage my listeners that may come by later on, that may find this show interesting, or those listening online. I'm sorry I can't interact with you yet. I'm still working on that. To just copy the URL, and you can send it to a friend who you think may like this particular show. Also, all the shows that we have done ever since we're broadcasting, which in August of this year will be 3 years late, or 3 years, right?
I think so.
Or two, can't remember. Anyway, you can just listen to all of the shows are archived, and they're filed on each month, but you can see the caption, the name of the show, and you get an idea if it's something that you would be interested in. But you can copy the URL and send it to any part of the world, just in an email, and anyone clicking on it will get right to the show. So I want to thank all my loyal fans for always being there. I want to encourage you to tell your friends and neighbors about the show so that they can listen when they want to. And Janice, I want to really, really thank you for sharing with the rest of the world, and wish you all the best, and know that you're just going to be, I'm going to have you on again, because you're going to be doing a lot of great things.
Thank you. And yes, I already see where it's turning out to be, you know, a good move, good decision on my part doing the show house, because, I'm getting so many different emails from so many different sources on, you know, my next move. So, and thank you for the exposure too, and also just bringing me back to my roots.
I you're most welcome, my dear. So with that said, I am going to bid everyone good night. We'll be back next week. And if you have an idea for a show, please go to backyardlabrics.com and just send me an email. I would like for this to be a people's show. So if you have an idea, if you have someone who you think fits in our theme to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, do let me know, because that's how I stumble on some of the guests that I have had, because someone knows someone who wrote a book or has an idea or did a poem or whatever, and that's how it all comes about, as well as the research that has been done by Dr. Lumsden, Dr. Tortello, and Miss Seymour, that I quote from quite often. So do help me out here by helping to let me know what you would like us to lavish about. And remember, we're here each week at 8 o'clock, so don't forget to tune in. And if you missed the show, you can always go back to the link or just Google Backyard Lavish, and Mr. Google will send you on your way to Blog Talk Radio. So with that said, I would like to say good night. And good night, Miss Janice, and congratulations. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. Thanks.
You're most welcome. Mr. Lay from the Bronx, thank you for being on our guest on the show, too. I know you're always in the backyard, and I hope you're enjoying your favorite drink.
Yep.
All right. Well, I hope to see you all next week. So with that said, I will say, make it a great week. And come back again next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.